Well, it's a privilege to share with you tonight. Definite privilege. And I would ask you to take your Bibles and turn to the longest psalm, Psalm 119. And if you're using Pew Bibles, it's on page, someone can let me know. Excuse me? 512. Perfect. Well, let's hear from the Word of God. We'll be reading verses 1 through 8. Blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep His testimonies, who seek Him with their whole heart, who also do no wrong, but walk in His ways. You have commanded your precepts to be kept diligently. Oh, that my ways may be steadfast in keeping your statutes. Then I shall not be put to shame, having my eyes fixed on all your commandments. I will praise you from an upright heart when I learn your righteous ways. I will keep your statutes. Do not utterly forsake me. This is the holy word of God. Let's pray. Father, as we come to this wonderful, glorious portion of your word, we pray that you would, even as the psalmist did, open our eyes to behold wonderful things from your word. Use this, Father, I pray, for all of us to strengthen us, to convict us, and direct us into true happiness, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In the Declaration of Independence, toward the beginning, there's a statement that it says we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Now, isn't it true that the primary desire that defines many of our longings, the things that we want, or the things we want to do, many of our plans, most of our decisions and our action, isn't it true that that which governs those, it is a desire for happiness? We want joy. And isn't it true also, though, that those of us who are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ want to consistently experience the happiness during our time on earth that comes from following God? And we want to live a joy-filled life as followers of Christ. But that isn't always the case. We don't always have that joy. That happiness isn't always present. So the question is, how can we enjoy a blessed walk with God? How can we live a life that pleases Him and blesses us, even in the midst of trials, struggles, suffering, concerns, lack of direction, anxiousness, and all the things that we experience? And I would hold you before you the truth that I believe that a blessed walk with God is only sustained through devotion to His Word. The psalmist teaches that a blessed walk with God is only sustained through devotion to His Word. Now, understand from the beginning, this psalm is written from a believer to believers, from a man of faith to those who have saving faith. That's who this psalm is written to. If you've not trusted Christ as Savior, you're outside of the happiness of this psalm. And only through putting your trust in him can you know the joy that we'll discuss tonight. Now, God he's created a wonderful but a very narrow path. It's very narrow, just like the gate is narrow that leads to life, and it's small. And it's as we remain on this path and walk through this life without wandering that we're going to find true joy. And this path, it's carefully defined for us in the scriptures, in the Word of God. And if we submit to the Bible so that it, picture it hemming us in, it's on our right hand and it's our left, on our left hand. We're walking in the midst of the scriptures. And if we submit to its author, then we're going to find true happiness, sustained happiness that isn't fleeting, that comes and goes. So thus, a blessed walk with God is enjoyed and sustained through devotion to his word. Now, as we look at this passage, there are three realities that we must consider if we're going to enjoy or find this blessed walk with God. First, we must joyfully walk in conformity to God's word. We must joyfully walk in conformity to God's word. We'll see that in verses 1 to 3. Second, we must diligently obey the commands of God, the commands of God's word. We'll see that in verse 4. And lastly, we must prayerfully depend on the God of the Word. And we'll see that in verses 5 through 8. That forms our outline. So let's look at this wonderful passage, this first stanza in Psalm 119, that begins with the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet, Aleph. I think that's correct. If so, I've learned one Hebrew letter. So let's look at the first point that's defined here, and that's that we need to walk in joyfully in conformity to God's word. We must joyfully walk in conformity to God's word. And we'll look here at the practice of the people or the person described in these verses, their affections and their character. What are they like? Of course we want happiness, and you can say, well, look, you're talking about joyfully walking. Yes, but in a very unique way. Consider verse 1. Blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. This, friends, is the foundation of this psalm. This is what the psalmist longs for. This is what he prays for. This is what he experiences. This is what he rejoices in. And then this is what he sometimes is absolutely desperate for. And this is what he wanders from. A blessed walk with God, a blameless one. And in fact, blessed forms the foundation of the whole psalm. This first word, which means happiness, joyful. So this Christian life that we are to live as followers of Jesus Christ is anything but morbid, boring, somehow discouraging. It is a joyful life. And again, God has ordained this very small path that if we remain on it, we'll experience this joy as we travel through this life, a difficult one. And this word for blameless, let's understand from the beginning, this is not referring to perfection at all. It's, of course, it's referring to a life above reproach, a life of obedience to God. And the word for law, this is also important as we look at the beginning, this is a very broad word. It not only includes the moral law, the Ten Commandments, which is, it definitely does, and those bring joy, and we'll see how, but it includes all that the psalmist had exposure to, the Pentateuch, every speck of God's word that he had. And it brought great joy to the psalmist as he looked at this law of the Lord. Because consider the things he had. Not only God's commands for obedience, but also God's glorious promises that we find throughout the first five books of the Bible. And as he held fast to those, he walked in conformity to God's word. Also, we see God's person, his character, his divine perfections. They're revealed in this law of the Lord that he talks about. And as we follow these divine perfections and hold fast to them and cling to them, we're walking in conformity to God because we're walking in obedience and submission to the God of the Word. Well, think of today. Look at what we have. We have the incredible blessing of the entire written revelation of God's Word. It's all given to us. This huge present, including the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have so much. And as we follow the path laid out by God in this book, we will know true happiness. A path which culminates, of course, in faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So the psalmist loved this law. We hear that later in the psalm. He clung to it. And he walked in it. That's the blessed man that he describes, who walks in the law of the Lord. And this man is a man above reproach. He's a man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked and wander off this path into other places, or stand, as we hear in Psalm 1, in the path of sinners, or sit in the seat of scoffers. His delight is in what? The law of the Lord, and in his delight, in his law, he meditates day and night. The same principle that we see here in verse 1. So the law of the Lord and walking in it, that for the psalmist was true blessedness. Now as we look at this, isn't it true that when we obey the will of God as revealed in his word, that we have the greatest peace? When we follow him, when we worship him as he's revealed in scripture, when we pray to him, clinging to the scriptures, isn't that when we experience the greatest happiness? And isn't it also true that when we disobey him, we are absolutely ashamed and discouraged, and our sin, the more we think about it, is absolutely repulsive to us. And we feel downcast and gloomy. But when we confess of our sins, repent of them, and get back on that path that God has laid out for us, then we find true happiness. The next best book of the Bible, or next to the Bible, is Pilgrim's Progress. That's just a known fact. There's a man named Christian in John Bunyan's allegory there, who's traveling on a path to the celestial city, and it's a very narrow one. When he wanders off, he experiences pain, remorse, dangers. When he's back on the path, He experiences joy. It's a beautiful picture. It's in every kind of level of English, complex, simple. There are child's versions. I would encourage you to read it. So we see that this happy man walks. He's walking in conformity to God's word. In verse 2, the psalmist expands on this. He says, "Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with their whole heart." Now, this is so important as we begin to look at this psalm, that we understand the context, the primary setting in which the psalm takes place. And where is that? It's in our hearts. This is a heart psalm, even though it was composed probably for people to memorize and even recite together. Those people would be considering their hearts. And a happy person is one who seeks God with his whole heart. He's not only devoted to moral commands. If we stop there, we'll miss the psalm. No, this portrays a man who sought God with all of his heart, and he sought him in the one place where he could be found. Where is that? It's the Bible. That's the one place it can be found. And affection for God based on his revealed word, that brings true joy. And when it's absent, our happiness disappears and is replaced with a life of ups and downs and ups and downs as we seek other forms of happiness that fail us over and over, like the man in Ecclesiastes. So if you're lacking, if you're struggling, if your heart is heavy, if you're finding yourself drifting away from God, if you even want God, but for some reason you're not finding him, go to this psalm and you're going to find all kinds of prayers that are just like yours. Revive me according to your word. Strengthen me according to your word. All throughout the psalm, the psalmist is pleading, God, keep me from wandering. Help me, please. This is a man who had needs just like you. Read this psalm, pray through it, and find the happiness that comes from walking with God. And if your relationship is a joyful one right now, then I would encourage you, heed the words of Solomon in Proverbs 4:23, watch over your heart, with all diligence, from it flow the springs of life. Be careful. Take this psalm again and pray through it as well, that you might not drift. It's a psalm for all of us. And one man, I believe he said it well in his commentary. He remarks that the purpose of knowing the word of God is to know the God of the word. We're not to commit bibliolatry, as he calls it. We love the scriptures because we love the God of the scriptures and we seek him with our whole heart. So we see the desire of the people in these first two verses. They want to walk with God in his law and conformity, and we see their affections for God in verse 2, and we see in verse 3 their behavior, their character, who also do no wrong but walk in his ways. Now that wrong, or translated unrighteousness, in verse 3 can be translated as violent deeds or injustice. And the blamelessness in verse 1, as I'd mentioned, portrays above a person above reproach, and each verse, the second half, interprets it for us. So in verse 3, the statement, they also do no wrong, I keep NAS being it, who do no wrong but walk in his ways, there's what a life of true obedience and upright character consists of, walking in God's ways. Following him. Spurgeon remarked that the surest way to abstain from evil is to be fully occupied in doing good. I believe that summarizes well what the psalmist is saying here. The happy person is walking in the law of the Lord, rejoicing in all that he has in the Word of God. He's seeking God from an affectionate heart that loves him, and he's walking in the ways that God has prescribed. He's staying on that path that God, that narrow path that God has created for him. And then he will enjoy the blessing of walking with God. What would Jesus say about this? What did he pray for his disciples? Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. He had the same view of Scripture that the psalmist did, who says in verse 160, the sum of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous ordinances is everlasting. Christ prays that God would sanctify us through this word, and that's when joy comes. Jesus is all we need, and as our great high priest, he's given us a present that directs us in the way we should walk in following him. Now, the psalmist now in verse 4, he begins to move not outward, looking at those who are blessed, but upward, looking at the one who gives the commandments in his word. He says in verse 4, you have commanded your precepts to be kept diligently. And this is where the second part of our outline comes in. The second thing that enables us to maintain a blessed walk with God, and that is that we are to diligently obey the word of God. We are diligently to obey the word of God. Now, the psalmist had a high view of God. When he says at the beginning of verse 4, you have established or commanded or ordained your precepts, he is worshiping. And he thinks of God very highly. And that's why he prays that God would establish his word as that which produces reverence for him. The psalmist understood the place of the fear of God, a reverence and an adoration for God. And he also had a very high view, a very deep commitment to Scripture, and a strong conviction that obedience to it is non-negotiable. It's not something we can decide to do today and not do tomorrow and expect to live happy lives. And understand, the psalmist would have attended, say he attended the Shepherd's Conference on Inerrancy a couple of years ago. He had absolutely no doubts that the Bible was given by inspiration, and he believed that the Bible was sufficient. He believed that it was authoritative. He believed that it was clear, and he believed that it was necessary for God's people. That summed up his confession of faith, which we spent 4 days discussing. The psalmist was convinced that this word of God must be obeyed. And its reverence for the Lord of glory and a high regard for this word that keeps us on that narrow path. Now, why does God command us to walk in his ways? Why does he do this? He doesn't need us. Think about that. What's the purpose of all this? Well, first, he wants us to mirror the character that he has. He knows we will fail, and that's why there's so much forgiveness found in Scripture. And that's why even when talking to Moses, presenting himself to Moses, he cries out, the Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and great in loving kindness and truth. But nevertheless, God wants us to obey, to reflect who he is. And Christ Jesus wants to obey, to reflect who he is. He who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. So diligently keeping God's commandments reflects our genuineness. Does not save us in the least, but does reflect our genuineness. Why else does God do this? He does this because it, as we obey his commandments, it keeps us in the good and right way. It keeps us on that narrow path that brings joy. His word is a light to our feet and a lamp to our paths, or the opposite, in verse 105 there. So only a blessed walk is sustained through devotion to the word of God. Now we understand that joyfully walking in God's word in conformity to it and diligently keeping his commands is wonderful. It brings so much joy. We feel absolutely secure, and there's a sense of God's pleasure. What more do we want than the divine pleasure? And yet we know, however, without the strengthening grace of God, we could never, ever consistently experience the blessing of walking with him. We know ourselves. We know our sin. And we know that without the grace of God, we would wander off this narrow path into all kinds of other paths. And we would say to the Lord, God, right now I've got some other plans. I'm going to pursue happiness in some other ways, and I'll be walking on some larger roads. I'll be back in a little while. And don't we do that? And suddenly find ourselves in the midst of sin, disgusting, joyless walks that lead to great sadness, discouragement, a sense of God's displeasure, which is definitely there. So how do we avoid such wandering into sin? It is not in our own strength. There's one thing that we can do, and that's seek God and his grace through prayer. Which brings us to our last point. How much? And that is that we must prayerfully depend on the God of the Word. Verses 5 and 6, the psalmist says, oh, that my ways may be established or steadfast in keeping your statutes, and then I shall not be put to shame, having my eyes fixed on all your commandments. The psalmist loved the word of God, and he loved the God of the word, but he knew he was in such danger of failing. So what does he do? He poured out his heart in prayer. He carried a great burden, like Christian did in Pilgrim's Progress, that was on his back because he wanted to please his God. And good news came. As he prayed, his burden began to be lifted. You know why? Because the psalmist actually believed that God answers prayer. Sometimes do we pray and really trust that God will answer? I would confess that that's not always the case with me. But as the psalmist pours out his heart, in verse 7 he says, I will praise you with an upright heart when I learn your righteous rules. He was convinced that what God was would answer that prayer. He was beginning to answer that prayer. And he had a beautiful expectation that good was coming, and that led to praise. His burden was replaced by gladness as he believed and saw the Lord's answer to his prayer. The Lord's answer to his prayer consisted of God teaching him through his word, not the example of an answer we always expect, but it was the best one. He knew God would teach him, give him what he needed to keep from wandering. He would show him his righteous rules, his ways, those things that would keep him on that path. However, he still knew he needed help. He even resolves in verse 8 by saying, I will keep your statutes. And this verse does not begin with, I will do my best, Lord, to obey. I'll try. But no, with a resolution, I will keep your statutes. And by the grace of God and through much prayer, we can say the same thing. I'm going to obey you, God, in the strength of Jesus Christ and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And the psalmist did. In verse 168, he says, I keep your precepts and testimonies, and all my ways are before you. And yet, again, the psalmist knew his weaknesses, and we know ours. So he prays, God, do not forsake me utterly. He understood that if his communion with God was broken, all of this resolve would just crumble to pieces. And he would be discouraged, fall away, and be ruined. So he prays, do not forsake me utterly. God, be with me. Don't let this communion be broken. Keep me from wandering. And as we pray, and as he prayed, then and only then can that happiness of walking with God be enjoyed. So devotion to God's word comes only, I should say, a joyful life comes only through walking in devotion to God's word. And what a blessed happiness it is. It is secure. It is obtainable. It is lifelong if we hold fast to God's ways. And lastly, this happiness, the reason it's greater than all other forms of happiness is because it involves a relationship with the one true God in whose presence there is fullness of joy. And in his right hand, there are pleasures forever. Let's pray, folks. Dear Father, thank you so much for this wonderful psalm, for giving us a way that we might live that would enable us to experience happiness. A happiness that comes from following you as those who have trusted Christ as our Lord. Use your word more and more and more to reveal our need, Father, to stay on this path of joy. And in your strength, may we do so and find all the treasures and joy that your scripture contains for us. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.